Fellow Freedom fans, back again with what I call the Faith and Freedom Show here on 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. And folks, I told you I was going to be interviewing somebody who was very interesting. I read some articles he wrote many years ago with Casey's. He's definitely been writing since then. But I'm talking to Craig Hewlett. He's a West Coast man who's been, I think, popular for talk show visits over the last 20 years or so. And it appears that Craig Hewlett has got some information, or actually perspective, on some of the things that are going on in this world, in this country, that some of this stuff should be kind of obvious no-brainers. But what I found is some of the things that he said, I had done some research myself on some of these things that he was talking about. And there's a lot more to this. A lot of times I think when people listen to Mr. Hewlett, they'll be probably feeling like they're really getting a lot of information. What's really sad is there's so much more information out there that Mr. Hewlett can't go into, or else it would kill everybody's brain cells. That's what I think. So, Craig, thank you for being with us here today on our Faith and Freedom Show. And again, the thing I want to talk about initially is this is a pretty old article. It says U.S. political objectives in the Middle East will fail. But the reason I found it fascinating is because it was a forecast. You were looking ahead. And one of the things that I'll just kind of prime the pump for where I want to start this conversation. It's essentially about Afghanistan, what's going on there. Besides the fact that there are soldiers there, there are Taliban there, there's opium there and other things like that, and all kinds of different factions. Besides that, prior to that, UNICAL had efforts to get a pipeline from Turkmenistan to the Arabian Sea. And I've been doing a lot of reading about what was going on before the U.S. ever started having conversations even with the Taliban. So tell us about the backdrop to what's going on in Afghanistan now that you think maybe our listeners need to be aware of.
Well, to begin with, long before 9/11, back when Clinton was in office, every major player that has been in and out of government, Henry Kissinger to Zbigniew Brzezinski, and the notorious elements of our government that always stayed just one step behind the Secretary of State, like Richard Armitage, who Condoleezza Rice worked for. These are the people that were trafficking in and out of Afghanistan, trying to convince the then-recognized government, the Taliban, to build pipelines from Turkmenistan and Kazakhstan all the way down south into Pakistan and ultimately to the Indian Ocean. But the reason they were, it's called the Silk Road Strategy. There's actually hearings that I published, not in their entirety, but all the pertinent points I did publish in my book called The Hydra of Carnage. All of this is spelled out with the clearest of language, and I'll just to sum it up in a short shrift. Mr. Marchesa of UNICAL basically said the Silk Road Strategy will never be fulfilled within the Caspian region, north, south, east, and west, until the Taliban are removed from power and there's a government in place that would be suitable to negotiations for bankers, UNICAL, and our government. So it was decided a long, long time ago that the Taliban was not cooperative in building the pipeline. So when 9/11 came up, it was a prime opportunity. Condoleezza Rice said that this is an opportunity, right after 9/11, to achieve objectives that we could not otherwise have achieved. And she meant specifically, we'll be able to go in, remove the Taliban, and we're going to build the bloody pipeline, whether the American people like it or not. And that's why they also said it'll be a generational war, because Afghanistan is also known in history as the graveyard of empires. From the Mongols to Alexander the Great, the British were slaughtered, the Russians were humiliated. No one has ever, in the history of Afghanistan, ever defeated what we used to call the Mujahideen. The Mujahideen, when they drove the Soviets out, were in fact the Taliban. And the Northern Alliance that is in power now under Hamid Karzai, they are the opium traffickers, and they were the Soviets' proxy regime in Afghanistan when the Soviets occupied it. So now we're siding with the old Soviet Union crowd that are, in fact, known to be traffickers in heroin and opium. And we're now fighting the Taliban, who we backed right along with bin Laden, to remove the Soviets. So a lot of what's going on in Afghanistan, and this is why I say we'll never defeat them. It'll never happen. We will never defeat the Taliban. We will never seize control of that government. There will never be democracy. It's not going to ever happen. But here's the real problem. The United States is now a corporate regime. And as a corporate regime, global corporate monopoly machine, they don't care whether they win the war or not. It doesn't cost them anything by continuing to see the pipelines blown up and individual workers on the pipelines, by and large Filipinos, Malaysians, Indonesians, they're killed, not Americans. And building the pipeline back, you and I, as taxpayers, we pay for it. So it's really no bother for Halliburton and Unocal to build the pipelines, and for the next three generations, people die, rebuild the pipelines, because it's still worth it to them. This is a pure, practical mode of the ultimate corporatism.
Well, I'm going to talk to our audience, just so you know what you're listening to. David Allen Carmichael, Faith and Freedom Show. I normally try to take our issues on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis of right versus wrong. Sometimes I can't fit that all into one show. We'll see if we can connect the dots as we go here. And the other thing is, I want you to say just what this gentleman has said is not a conspiracy theory that he like made up or something. What happened is, I've studying Afghanistan, I was studying the documents that were written by people in Afghanistan, about the internal struggles that were going on while the Taliban was in force, and giving a review over the last, oh, say, 30 or 40 years of what was going on in Afghanistan. And they were and this was prior to 9/11. And they just described what you just described. They described this relationship with the United States government, Unocal, and other corporations and things like that. What's happening in Turkmenistan, the desire to get pipelines going even to the Arabian Sea and to India, and just all the conflicts that were there, the deals, the issues with the Russians and everybody around that area. That this is something that if you just go ahead and try to look back prior to 9/11, you can essentially discover what you've just said, Craig. And so we're talking to Craig Hewlett, and we're going to have give him a chance to talk about his book, The Hydra of Carnage. And so we'll let you know about that. You can get on his website, craigbhewlett.com. That's craigbhewlett.com, The Hydra of Carnage. After saying all that, I think a lot of people don't realize that there is a interest of things happening in Afghanistan that have nothing to do with the soldiers and the opium trade as much as it is that they would like to have security, no matter really who it is that's giving it. So these are business interests. That's no doubt true. But the thing is, I would say one thing that I think we have to realize, business interests influence people in office. Now, in this statement that you had in 2003, you kind of were putting the rap on George Bush. You said that Bush will try to outflank Iran and not allow oil to run through Iran. And you said he was inextricably tied to Western oil interest. Well, that's very clear, because that's the industry his family's involved in. I wouldn't necessarily put too much on George W. Bush, or even sometimes anybody, particularly in office, because it seems to me that sometimes it's not their interest, but people with those interests are driving what these people propped into office are doing. What do you think
That's
about that?
True. George Herbert Walker Bush, George W., Clinton, and now Obama, they're obeying what you might want to call their masters, and it is the corporate interest. Since 1945, this country during World War II was turned over by FDR in a necessary fashion, turned over to lawyers, CEOs, and businessmen to fight World War II. Now, FDR, it's pretty clear to me, had he remained alive and Truman didn't step in, who was a businessman himself, I think FDR might have tried to remove these same interests from our State Department, Defense Department, the Pentagon, etc. But he didn't. He died, and since that day, they have not been removed. And the things that have fundamentally changed within our government because of the existence of these businessmen with a firm grip on State Department, Commerce Department, it's their lawyers, it's their directors, it's their CEOs, it's their bankers that are in these government posts ever since that period. And one of the things that disappeared from the American scene was the antitrust division of the Justice Department. The antitrust division was there to see to it that competition remained and we didn't form cartels and monopoly corporations by putting out of business the smaller competitors. Well, that's long been changed. You don't even hear that argument any longer. If you hear anything about, for instance, Microsoft and antitrust, they talk about whether it's good for consumer prices. But that's where we're at today. Now these corporations are so large, inextricably tied to our government, that we don't really have a two-fold government. We don't have the business side of government and the governing side of government. We have one and the same thing, and I've been calling it corporatism because it's the proper terminology. And you're right, by the way, Mr. Carmichael, I should say, I don't work from a hypothesis and then write a narrative. All my work is professional in the sense that I have clients that pay me to do this kind of research and analysis. I don't have the luxury of taking a guess at something. I have to be dead right on correct if I put it in a book or in a paper. I can't fool around with it because my clients depend on me. And I've operated that way now for 35 years.
Well, and I appreciate that. And that's what I realized, and I appreciated your time coming on my show here today. And as I was telling my audience, there's so many more things that we could talk about that would go into depth. But again, it would just tweak everybody's brain a little bit. And we got to make sure that there's essentially fruit coming from this as we give people a perspective on this. One of the things that you said that I think is a pretty much of a hot potato, and I don't think people understand the depths of what this statement is saying, you said Iran is more the target than Iraq when referring to what was going on then when you wrote this in 2003. Of course, we were involved deeply in Iraq, as we still are. But that Iran, even then, and even prior to that point, has always been the target.
That's correct.
Explain that. We've got about a minute and a half, and then we'll take a break.
Well, Iran, if you look at the back of the Hydra, I published a map that was generated showing pipelines, proposed pipelines, and existing pipelines. And the greatest threat to our corporate regime, not U.S. government national security, but to our corporate regime, is Iran is planning and always has been planning to run pipelines from Russia and Kazakhstan south through the Caspian Sea all the way to the Persian Gulf without touching India, Pakistan, or Afghanistan. That's why we really blockaded Tehran. We're trying to shut down their ability to go north and south, east and west with pipelines and a Silk Road strategy of their own. So our government, obeying the dictates of UNICAL, ExxonMobil, we're surrounding Iran. If you look at a map, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, we've got Iran completely surrounded, north, south, east, and west. That's the target. Not Afghanistan. Never was it Iraq. That's why there's no reason to say we're doing this because of terrorism, 9/11, or bin Laden. That's the nonsense part of what W said from the very beginning. He knew it wasn't true. If I knew it wasn't true, Mr. Bush definitely knew it was not true.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back. We're going to talk about moral imperatives that drive some of our mid-flight entertainment while our plane might be in a nosedive. We'll be back.